Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. As usual, I'm your host, Cody, and we are starting a new month in October. I know last week I mentioned that I'm probably going to do something horror because of Halloween and all that fun stuff, but the plans changed. Originally, I was going to do some horror movies, like remakes, that I really enjoyed. I can tell you what they were. It's not that hard to tell where. I just wasn't that into it. I wanted to find something else horror-based, and I just could not make my mind up. So last minute-ish, I had a epiphany, if you want to call it that. That epiphany was, I want to do awesome fantasy movies. Why this came about, and some people will say these aren't all fantasy movies, but I'll explain what I mean by this. There's five movies this month, 5 weeks this month, five Wednesdays. There's five movies. I'm going to tell you the movies, in order. So this week I'm going to be talking about Sucker Punch. Next week I'm going to talk about Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow. The third week I'll be talking about Fifth Element. The fourth week I'll be talking about Oblivion. And the last week I'll be talking about Snowpiercer. This list is basically made up of two criteria to me. So fantasy, in my loose interpretation for this month, is basically anything that is fantastical. So things like Snowpiercer, Fifth Element, Oblivion, they're all sci-fi. Well, actually, Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow is sci-fi as well. But the reason I consider them fantasy to this is the elements in them. They're not just strictly sci-fi. Like Star Wars technically is like a sci-fi fantasy because it's got swords and weird magic. It's not science fiction in the lines of Star Trek is more science fiction than science fantasy. Sci-fi fantasy, if we want to go that far. So these ones are, again, so they're two things. One is they're fantastical. There are elements outside of normal, beyond that of science fiction. There's a bit of mystery and mystique to them, fantasy stuff, and horrific stuff too, which is a thing that goes in through a lot of these. The other criteria is all five of these movies are more of artistic movies than your regular sci-fi movies. And I'll go over those two things, those two elements throughout the weeks to come and explain my, not explain it, but give you an idea of where I narrowed down. The list was a lot different before I remembered. Well, wasn't actually that different. No, it was different. Oblivion wasn't on there. Snowpiercer wasn't on there. But the first two I started with were Sucker Punch and Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow. And then I was like, oh, Fifth Element runs in that fucking weirdness. It's sci-fi, but it's also like an element of ridiculousness and phantasm. So I added that. And then I added Oblivion because I really love that movie. It's a very underrated movie, I would almost say, too. But we'll talk about that. Then the Snowpiercer, for the folks who don't know what that is, I will talk about that, in a couple weeks here, a few weeks here. But it just know it's an artistic movie and it's a very, very dark movie. And all these have a very dark overtone to them. Yeah, so that's your list. But today we're going to be talking about, Scott Snyder's Sucker Punch from 2011. For the folks who don't know what this, who any of these people are, I'm going to go over the main principal cast, and then I'll go over the movie itself. So Zack Snyder, writer, director, well, co-writer and director, but his co-writer, which I didn't know, I still don't know. He has like no credits to his name, really no credits to his name. If you go to his IMDb, there's a few things, but it's like, he was crew member on some stuff and camera and electrical operator on certain things. And it's all weird, like Killer Clowns from Outer Space, No Rest for the Wicked, Choke, which is not the movie I thought it was. I thought it was the Sam Rockwell movie. It is a different movie. So I was like, oh, he did Joke, but he did not. I don't know. A short film called Requiem. Something comes out next year called Tourist. And I didn't know any of this. I don't know who he is. So I wasn't too sure about it. But he co-wrote Sucker Punch. His name is Steve Shibuya, I think. I don't know how to say it. I'm terrible with names. We all know that. But anyway, Zack Snyder, most famous for a couple things. Well, a few things, really. He was going to be the mastermind behind all of the DC Cinematic Universe movies, but he's produced... well, it's weird that he's not listed as producer on Batman v Superman, even though he totally produced that, I think. Anyways... So he did Man of Steel. He co-wrote it. Man of Steel he did not co-wrote. He directed it. Then he directed Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. He produced and worked on story elements for Wonder Woman. He did story elements and directed Justice League. He's producing Wonder Woman. And I believe he had producing credits on Aquaman. I could be wrong about that. It's not on this list. But... most notably, he is the man who basically filmed the unfilmable movie. And what that is, if you don't know, is Watchmen, which I will be talking about probably next month when after Watchmen, the TV show debuts. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know yet. It depends on a couple things. But neither here nor there. Watchmen... the movie, based on the graphic novel, written by Alan Moore and written by, I'm spacing on his name, David Gibson, right? Dave Gibbons, G-I-B-B-O-N-S. That film is... that graphic novel was always known as something that's unfilmable. Zack Snyder then took the challenge and said, hold my beer. And he fucking did it. And he did it... to me, if you ask me, he did an amazing job. Some people are upset... that he changed the ending. He didn't change the ending. He took an element of the ending and changed it. He didn't change the ending. The ending was still the same. It doesn't actually matter, but we're not talking about that today. We'll talk about that another day. But he's notable for that. He's also notable for 300. The first one he co-wrote the screenplay for the second one and produced the second one, but he made the first one. You can tell there's a real big change in the way it looks. But he wrote that one, and his debut movie was Dawn of the Dead, remake, which was, by the way, the reason I got onto Sucker Punch is Dawn of the Dead was on my remake horror movies list. Like I said, I was going to tell you how I got there. I got to here. That's how I got to here. I was looking up stuff, and I went through the list of different ones, and I had a few on there. My Bloody Valentine, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Dawn of the Dead, and I had one more that I'm spacing on. I made the list, and I deleted it. Shit, what was it? Oh, The Thing. So those were my ones, but I wasn't happy with talking about those because it feels like those are the ones that everyone who does lists like that were talking about or would be talking about. I don't know if they are talking about. They probably are because I'm probably right. But so I was like, I got to find something else. And while looking at it, I looked down at Dawn of the Dead. And when I was looking at Zack Snyder and his listings, it listed other stuff he's done. And the second one listed, it was, or third one, because it went 300 Watchmen and then Sucker Punch. And I was like, oh, Sucker Punch. I love that movie. Movie is fucked up and so amazing. But so that's how I got to this stuff. And I was like, oh, what other movies like that? And so, again, last minute-ish, I was like, oh, I changed my list up. Because, like I said, I wasn't happy with those ones. So I got on to Sucker Punch, and then the list went from there. So that's Zack Snyder. He's done a lot of good things. Oh, and he has a movie coming up called Army of the Dead, which really nobody knows about. But it's coming up. I believe it's a Netflix movie. I don't know if it's going to be in theaters. It comes out next year, so it doesn't really matter. Well, it's listed to come out next year. I know it doesn't come out this year. But it has a lot of really good people in it. Dave Bautista, Garrett Dillahunt, which I've talked about on this before, Raul Castillo, Amari Hardwick, Chris D'Elia. It's got, I thought there's some other people in there too. There's some other people that's not on this list. I know it, but it's a huge, it's got a really big cast in it. And, basically, this is the premise we know. A group of mercenaries plot a heist on a Las Vegas casino during a zombie outbreak. That's all that's known so far about this movie that I know of, that I've seen. That's the premise that was given. And you can look up the picture. If you type in Army of the Dead film on your favorite search engine, you will see a picture of the cast that they released, I want to say, around Comic-Con this year, and I think it was in Entertainment Weekly as well, but I know they produced it or released it. It was pretty good looking because they're just armed up. Anyhow, so he has that coming out. Then you have the cast, which I just closed one of them down. Hold please. Nope, she gets moved up because she is the main. So this cast is mainly all women, female leads. I say mainly, it is literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 6 women. 5 of the, and I'll explain the story because it won't make sense if I don't otherwise. 5 of them are featured, 3 of them more prominently, and then one of the actresses, who's not one of the 5 girls, plays the doctor / dance coach. I know that sounds really bizarre, but I'll explain a little bit later. So the cast is made up of these particular people. So Emily Browning plays Baby Doll. Emily Browning is known for a few things. Most people remember her as Violet Beauregard, or I can't talk, Baudelaire. I'm terrible with names right now. Violet Baudelaire from the original movie, Lemony Snicket, Lemony Snicket's Series of Unfortunate Events with Jim Carrey, not the TV show with Neil Patrick Harris. She's done a bunch of things. I mean, she's done a lot of different things. Television-wise, or movie-wise, early career, small roles as a child, and things like Ghost Ship, Darkness Falls, Ned Kelly. Then she did Lemony Snicket's Series of Unfortunate Events. Then she did The Uninvited, which is, I think I remember liking that, is a spooky, scary ghost movie. Then she did Sucker Punch. She did Sleeping Beauty, which was an independent movie. Not like Sleeping Beauty. It doesn't matter. But it's not like Disney's Sleeping Beauty. That, like, the tale of Sleeping Beauty. It is different. Then she was in she was in Pompeii opposite Kit Harington, I believe. And then that's pretty much it for the bigger stuff. Television-wise, she's done a few things. Her most notably now, She plays Laura Moon, or S.E. McGowan, in the Starz adaptation of American Gods by Neil Gaiman. Oh, and she was also in a recurring role in seasons 4 and 5 of The Affair, which I never watched. But yeah, so that's Emily Browning. She's been in a lot of things. Well, not a lot of things, but she's been in a handful of things. And she's really good in this. She's really good in American Gods, too. But yeah, that's it for her. Then you have Abby Cornish, who plays Sweet Pea. She has been in a lot of things. For me, most notably, she was in Stop Loss, Limitless, Seven Psychopaths, the remake of RoboCop. She played Clara Murphy, the wife of famed RoboCop. She was in a movie called Bright Star, which is about the poet, what's his name, Keats, look it up, John Keats. She plays the female lead in that. She got nominated for a shit ton of awards. Didn't win any of them, but got nominated for a bunch of them. She did another, another one of Zack Snyder's movies before Sucker Punch, which is Legends of the Guardians, the Owls of Ga'Hoole, which is an animated movie that is actually pretty amazing, but very unremarkable in a way. But it's one of the things he did. It was really a bizarre thing, but he did that, which I didn't mention earlier, but that's something he made. Then she was in, like I said, she was in Limitless. She was the girlfriend, right? The girlfriend of Bradley Cooper's character? That might be wrong. It's been a long time since I watched that movie. Didn't actually really like that movie. She was then, like I said, she was in Seven Psychopaths. She was in RoboCop. Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which is a really good movie. I did not see Geostorm because, yikes, that movie looked terrible. Some people said it was really good, but I was like, that can't be. And then TV shows, she's been in a handful. She was a main in four seasons of The Outsiders? Outriders? Was it three seasons? Holy shit, that was one season? They had 26 episodes of that? Holy cow. I thought it was like three seasons. That's my, that's just me thinking that that's what they still make TV shows, or they made TV shows shorter than that. But yeah, I guess that does, as an Australian show, I've never seen it. I thought it was more seasons than that. It was one season, apparently. 26 episodes, though. It's pretty fucking good, if you ask me. Most recently, for me at least, I know her as Kathy Mueller from Jack Ryan, the Amazon television program, which is an adaptation of the Jack Ryan books. Jack Ryan, if you haven't watched it, is amazing. New season starts November 1st. It's a Tom Clancy's series of books. But John Krasinski plays the titular character, Jack Ryan. And the first season was phenomenal. I highly recommend it. If you have Amazon or have access to Amazon, you should watch it. It's pretty goddamn good. She plays the female, the love interest, I guess you'd say. I hate using that term because it's not really like a romantic comedy type situation. Which, don't get me wrong, it's not how all romantic comedy should be, but usually that's the love interest. I can't say female lead because she's only in like three or four episodes, maybe not even that many. She might be more in the next season. I'm not too sure. Or if she's even set to show up in the second season. She's got to be. Ends up being, spoiler, ends up being his wife. She's got to be in the second season. Well, we don't know yet. Amazon doesn't really give those things out. But I believe she's got to be because she ends up being his wife. So, yeah. So that's Abby Cornish. Played Sweet Pea. Then you have Jenna Maloney, who plays Rocket, who is the sister of Sweet Pea. She is she's not nearly as known. Well, she's done a lot of things. She's not nearly as known as, well, actually, the other ones aren't even that really known either, but she's been in a lot of things. She's done voice work. She sings in a band. I think she has her own band. She's also been in music videos, everyone from Michael Jackson to, well, that's the most notable one on there. There's a lot of other bands. But she's the singer of a band called The Shoe, if I'm not mistaken. I think she's, that's their band. I think that's the name of her band. I can't remember. So movie wise, besides Sucker Punch, I was going through this list earlier and she's done a lot of stuff. Pride and Prejudice was a big one. End of the Wild, The Ruins, The Messenger, The Soloist. Well, I can't really say The Soloist. She was a very bit part in that. That's what I was going to say. She's also, you'd probably know her from The Hunger Games. She was in the last three. Yeah, the last three. She was in Catching Fire and Mockingjay Part 1 and 2. She played Joanna Mason. Then she was in the ultimate cut of Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. She played Janet Clyburn, role that was cut. Which I believe everyone thought she was casted in that to be the daughter of Deathstroke's character. But she was not. She was in Nocturnal Animals. I forgot about that. And Neon Demon. Both of those movies are fucked up. Came out the same year, too. As Batman v Superman. And each other. But that was the one. Television-wise, I've not seen it. But apparently, she is in the Hatfield and McCoy show. Miniseries? Not a show. Miniseries that was on TNT. Good God. That's my fault. I hit the button. History Channel. Yeah, History Channel. With Kevin Costner and Bill Paxton. Tom Berenger, Powers Booth, Jim Maloney, Boyd Holbrook. Actually, I just watched a movie with Boyd Holbrook, and I couldn't remember. The name looked familiar. I've seen him in a bunch of stuff, and I just couldn't think of what I saw him in. And then it dawned on me. I was like, oh, I know. I've seen this guy in a lot of stuff. He was in Logan. He played the not the main bad guy, but the main henchman bad guy, Donald Pierce. He was in The Predator, the new one, with the Shane Black one. Run All Night. Jane Got a Gun. Then he was also in a movie I just watched that was actually very intriguing, but the ending was kind of bleh. But anyways, a sci-fi movie on Netflix called In the Shadow of the Moon. If you like weird sci-fi movies, you should watch it. In Narcos, that's what I was thinking of. He was in the first season of Narcos, right? Only one season, right? I think it was only one season. But I like that guy a lot, so I was like, oh, I'm gonna check this movie out. Plus it had Dexter in it. Oh my God, what is his name? Why I can't think of his name right now. Michael C. Hall. It was a pretty interesting movie. I actually liked that a lot. It was very intriguing. Kinda easy to guess if you paid attention, but maybe that's just me. I like that guy a lot. He was in that, but he was in Hatfield and McCoy's. Sorry, sidetracked. So that's Jenna Maloney. Then we move on to Vanessa Hutchins. I've talked about her more recently in the Mads Mikkelsen month, which was she was in Polar, and she was really good in that. She's really good in this. I know she's been in a bunch of Disney TV shows. I'm looking at the list right now. Oh, High School Musical too. She was in that as well. Or in one of them. I don't remember. But she's like in the Drake and Josh, which is Nickelodeon. Actually, it might be all these, those might be Nickelodeon shows, not Disney. I don't know. Because then she was in the Sweet Life of Cody, Zach and Cody, which I also think is a Nickelodeon show. I don't know. I can't verify that or not. But yeah, so she was in that. She played Blondie, which is hilarious because she's definitely not blonde. Jet black hair. She's really good in this. And then you have Jamie Chung, who played Amber. I was looking at a different list. Amber. She has been in a lot of things. I'm not going to mention that second one she was in. And I'm not going to mention the fact she was Hooters girl in I'll pronounce you Chuck and Larry. But she was in Grown Ups, obviously Sucker Punch, Hangover Part 2 and 3. She was in Knife Fight? No way. I don't remember her in Knife Fight. Sorry, Rob Lowe movie. She did the voice of Gogo Tamago in Big Hero 6, both the movie and the television program, as well as the video game appearance she made in Kingdom Hearts 3. She was in Gotham, the short-lived and new, just right out of the gate, knew me doomed, Gifted, because that TV show is going to cost way too much money for Fox to ever want to go forward with it, and they're not good at stuff, so there's that. But yeah, that's she was in Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, which is the second one of those, not in the first one. Oh yeah, she was Lady Silk in Man with Iron Fists. That movie was ridiculous. Oh, she's in Premium Rush too. Yeah, so that's Jamie Chung plays Amber. Then you have Carla. I think it's Gugino. Again, not too sure, but that's her name. She was in Watchmen, which led to her being, I'm sure, being brought over to Sucker Punch because they're both Zack Snyder projects. He likes to work with people repeedly. He wants to. I mean, he hasn't really done it a whole lot, but he's done it a few times. She played Sally Jupiter / Silk Spectre in Watchmen. She plays her character's name is in Sucker Punch is Dr. Vera Gorski. She plays one of the psychiatrists, which again I'll go over. I'm running a little late on this. That is at the insane asylum that the movie takes place in. She also plays the dance instructor in the dream sequence stuff. I'll get to that in a minute. She's been in so many things. She was opposite The Rock in that Earthquake movie. What was that called? The Earthquake movie with The Rock. Wasn't that her? San Andreas, right? Yeah, there it is. San Andreas. She did a voice of Kellar in Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, again. Zack Snyder likes to work with the same people. She was in, Gerald's Game on Netflix, the Stephen King adaptation. Fantastic. She's in Gunpowder Milkshake, which is coming out, I believe, next year. That's an all-female cast. A lot of people are saying it's very much like The Expendables or... what was the other one that say a pack of John Wicks? Because apparently it's got a bunch of badass females in it. I know. Do I know of anybody else? I know. What's her face from Guardians of the Galaxy's in it? Karen Gillian, Lena Headey, Angela Bassett. Oh, Paul Giamatti's in it. He's Nathan. Michelle Yao. And I think that's almost everybody I know of in there. So yeah, that sounds, I mean, I don't know. Sounds cool. TV wise, she's been in a lot of stuff, a lot of TV movies, a lot of ones and two episodes of things. She was in Wayward Pines. Really fucking weird book, by the way, if you've never read that fucking book. I'm really interested to read the other two, but the first one was so fucking strange. But most reason I was bringing this up, most recently, she was in the Haunting of Hill House on Netflix. Terrific series, now going to be an anthology series. I say that because they're doing one more season I know of. Not a continuation, but an anthology, so it's going to have some repeating actors in it, but different. I believe they're playing different characters, much like they do with American Horror Story and Black Mirror. Well, no, Black Mirror doesn't have the same actors in it, right? There's nobody repeats acting in Black Mirror. But anyways, it's an anthology show. All takes place in the same universe, but like different stories being told. Kind of imagine like a play with multiple people in it, just playing different roles. But yeah, she's in that, and she's amazing, and that show's phenomenal. It's one of those shows I had to like watch the lights on because I got freaked out. Then rounding up our cast, we have three real quick. You have Oscar Isaac, who I've talked about on this show before because he's in Ex Machina. He was in Star Wars, unfortunately in X-Men Apocalypse. He was in Annihilation. He's still in Star Wars. I don't know why I said was in Star Wars. He did the voice of Miguel O'Hara, who's Spider-Man 2099 and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. He was in the Netflix movie Triple Frontier. He's in the upcoming animated adaptation of The Addams Family. He plays Gomez Addams. He's going to be in the new Dune movie. I don't know what the hell Big Gold Brick is, but he's in that. Comes out sometime, but the new Dune. I don't want to call it a remake. I want to say it's a new adaptation of, but he plays Duke Leto Andrades or something like that. I can't see on my list here. Oh, I don't know how to say the last name. I was wrong. But Duke Leto something or other. And then he's been in a lot of different things. He played Romeo Montague in Romeo and Juliet in 2007 in theater. He's amazing. He's been in so many things. Obviously, Sucker Punch. He was in We with Abby Cornish, I think, was in that one too. The same year as they did Sucker Punch. He was in Drive, which is amazing. He gets his head bashed in with a tire iron in an elevator. Spoiler alert, I guess, if you haven't seen that movie from 2011 as well. He had a big year in 2011. 10 years he's in that too. But Oscar Isaac is amazing. I've talked about him before because he was in the Coen Brothers movie that I am skipping on, Inside Llewyn Davis. She's amazing. And then one small role, played by John Hamm. This is one of the first things I saw him in, outside of, Mad Men. This is the time of frame where he was in Mad Men and he wasn't doing a whole lot of other things because Mad Men was he was the main character. He also directed and produced it. So there's a lot of times he didn't do a lot of movies, but he was in other ones, some other things. But in that time frame, 2007 to 2015, he did one or two movies. Well, he had some small roles in some other ones. Oh, yeah, I forgot he made it. He had an uncredited almost cameo in The A-Team. I love that movie. He did The Town, which is a phenomenal fucking movie. He was in Bridesmaids, a scumbag, was amazing in that. Million Dollar Arm, he played and he did a voice in Minions. Baby Driver more recently. Oh, he's in Tag. Bad Times at El Royale late last year. This year, I have not seen it yet, but he's in Lucy in the Sky. I believe he's one of the leads in that. That's a Natalie Portman Girl Goes to Space movie. Top Gun Mavericks is coming up next year. Whatever the Jesus roles is, he's doing that. And Wild Mountain Time. But John Hamm, he's Don Draper. Like, he's Don Draper from Mad Men. I mean, he's also, he was in 30 Rock, which he's amazing in 30 Rock. If you haven't seen that, few episodes, he did 7 episodes. Dr. Drew Baird. He's phenomenal on that fucking show. He's so good. He's good in Mad Men, too. I don't know why I was saying he's good in that, but he's good in Mad Men. And then last up is Scott Glenn. Scott Glenn has been in a lot of so many things. I'll go over more recent stuff. He was in the Bourne movies. He was the director of the CIA. The last 2 Bourne movies. Is that right? He might have just been the last one. I can't remember. But I've talked about it on here and mentioned him before. He was in The Leftovers, which I talked about during my HBO month a couple months ago. He played the father of one of the families. He was Stick in both Marvel's Daredevil as well as The Defenders. And most recently, as of last year, he was in 8 episodes of Castle Rock, playing a very well-known Stephen King character. Well, not well-known, but a recurring Stephen King character, Alan Pangborn, who appeared in Salem's Lot? Or no, Needful Things. Needful Things. Oh, actually, Dark Half, Needful Things, and Castle Rock. That's Scott Glenn. That's the cast. Notable cast. That's most of the cast, actually. There's not a whole lot of in-focus people in this movie. There's a lot of background people who are fuzzy. Real quick, since I'm drastically over time, because I sidetracked and talking about these people. Anyways, there's 2 things about this movie. I'll do the first one, the shorter one first. The music in this movie, it's fucking phenomenal. It was composed by Tyler Bates, who's done a bunch of stuff with Snyder. He did Batman v Superman. Did he Justice League too? He might have not done Justice League. Hold on, let me get down to the bottom of the list. He worked on Guardians of the Galaxy, John Wick Chapter 3, Deadpool 2, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, John Wick 2, John Wick 1. Bunch of stuff with Rob Zombie. He did The Haunted World of El Super Bisto. He did Watchmen, like I said. Halloween 2, worked on Grindhouse with Rob Zombie, the segment they did for the one of the trailers, The Werewolf Woman of the SS, which is still a thing I want to see. He worked on 300, worked at Slither, Dawn of the Dead. Like I said, he's worked with Scott on so many things. Rob Zombie, did you do Devil's Reject? Yeah, Devil's Reject. He did so much stuff. He's done a lot of things. TV show wise, he's done. He did The Punisher. He did. I guess he did The Purge. I didn't know that. The TV show Purge. Californication. He did James Gunn's PG porn, which is a thing I'll talk about some other time. The show Salem, the show Kingdom. He's done a lot of. He's a composer, producer, so many things. He worked on video games too, right? Yeah, he worked on a bunch of video games, I thought. God of War, Army of Two, Killzone, a couple other things, I think, too. Anyways, that's Tyler Bates. I'm not even talking about him. But the music, the soundtrack for it is phenomenal. It features an amazing rendition of a Bjork song called Army of Me. It's a Sucker Punch remix, and it's so fucking good. But it's cool because they actually have Emily Browning does a version of a cover of Sweet Dreams Are Made of These by the Rhythmics. She also sings, where is it? Where's My Mind, the Pixies cover. She did Asleep, which is a Smiths cover. And then Carla Gugino and Oscar Isaac do a cover of Roxy Music's Love is the Drug for the end credits scene. But man, the music is so fucking good in this movie. So that's my one of my things about this movie. Real quick synopsis of the movie before I run too much over. I'm trying to give this in the next 4 minutes. A young girl's mother passes away. She is distraught. Her stepfather reads the will, finds out that all the money goes to the two surviving daughters. He gets angry. He goes to take it out on them. She locks herself in her room. Then she spies on him going into her sister's room, where her sister runs and hides in a closet. He's about to, I think, sexually assault her. I'm not too positive. He's a fucking creep. She attacks him. He hits her. She goes, oh no, I'm sorry. Yeah, he attacks her. She attacks him, locks herself in, scratches her face with her, just digs fucking gouges into her face. She goes out, gets a pistol from his car, I think. Tries to shoot him because he's attacking her little sister. Accidentally misses, hits her sister and kills her. Then is distraught. He lies, tells that she attacked him, killed her sister, went crazy because her mom passed away. And then he has her committed to a insane asylum. That's where shit goes crazy, which is weird because you're like, wait, that can't be right because the rest of that's crazy. Yeah, this is where it gets super awesome. Well, I mean, visually, not story-wise. Story-wise, it gets even darker. So in this, her stepfather then pays Oscar Isaac's character to lobotomize her because she's supposed to be crazy and it's the only thing to keep her going. When she finds out about this, she decides to retreat into her mind, and she brings up this fantasy world where she is dropped off by this priest at a club where she's supposed to be taken care of, but really she's a sex slave. And she then befriends four of the other girls, being the ones I've mentioned already. So Sweet Pea, Rocket, Amber, and Blondie. And they come up with a plan to escape the place. And she has this vision when she's forced to dance, where she then retreats into her mind again. She has this vision of herself as this badass chick who meets Scott Glenn's character, who then... I'm done with the soundtrack. I'm trying to remember all the beats to this real quick. I'm going to go over 45 minutes. She meets Scott Glenn's character, who then instructs her as her mentor to arm herself. And then she needs five things to escape. She needs a map. She needs a knife. She needs fire. She needs a key. And one thing, it's a mystery that she has to figure out for herself. And it'll become clear when needs to be. She then has a fucking awesome fight with three giant robotic samurai who have machine guns and rocket launchers and all sorts of crazy shit. It's a fucking insane movie. So then she goes back and she convinces the other girls that they need to help her. And if they get these four things, the map, the knife, the fire, and the key... She knows how to escape. Things happen. The other four girls then enter her fantasies where they end up going after the map, which is during a World War situation where the Nazis have converted their soldiers into mechanized steam-powered zombie warriors that they have to fight against. And the girls have abilities. They can jump high and hit hard and shoot guns really well. Then they have to go after the... What's the third one? The fire? That one, they're raiding a castle that they have to go take these crystals that create fire from the baby dragon. The mother comes out and all sorts of shit happens. It's a medieval thing. There's knights and everything around, orcs and shit. And the last one is the knife. And they have to... Right? I've got to remember. I just watched it yesterday again. Oh, yeah, the knife, they have to get it from the, in the fantasy world of them being badasses, it is a bomb on a train speeding towards the city, and they have to get it before the city, before the train reaches the city, because then it'll blow up, and they need that, is the metaphorical knife. It's the bomb, is called the knife. Shit goes wrong, a couple of the girls die, and... Not in real life. I don't even know how to say that. This is the thing. It's really hard to tell when you watch this movie. And I'm not saying this is a bad thing. What is real and what's not? Because you get these flashes of them in the fantasy world of the sex slave club thing, as well as in the real world. And then also, it intermingles, so you sometimes don't know. And then towards the end, you do. I mean, you figure it out. But then you don't, because there's other parts that are like... It's fucking crazy. Anyhow, they make this plan to escape. Shit goes wrong. And watch for yourself to find out what happens. I don't want to spoil it. They find the fifth thing, and that explains what happens at the end. Movie's nuts. It was critically panned, but people didn't like it, blah, blah, blah. It's a very art movie. There's not a whole lot of dialogue in it. They don't really hold your hand through it. You kind of have to pay attention. It's phenomenal, man. It's so, so well done. For being 2011 and being on a pretty short, small budget for what they did with this movie, it's so fucking imaginative and cool and just... so much fun. The music's amazing. The audio in this movie is phenomenal. The visuals are amazing. Cinematography is nuts in it. Who is the cinematographer? Larry Fong. I don't even know if I know that name or not. Larry, what have you done? Oh, a lot of stuff with Zach. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. There's a lot of that in there. I say a lot of things with Zach. He's worked on three things with Zach. We worked on Lost, Super 8. Oh, actually, he's worked on 4 Zack Snyder movies. Okay, so he's done a lot of things. It's just an amazing movie in general. Like I said, the audio is amazing. The soundtrack is phenomenal. The music in it is used on purpose. It's part of the movie. It's not just ambiance. It's a very dark movie. It doesn't really have a happy ending. It kind of does, but it kind of doesn't. It doesn't matter. Watch it if you're into that sort of thing. Again, visuals are amazing. Just so much fun. Zack Snyder needs to make more of these movies that are his thing. And hopefully Army of the Dead is going to be that, because I really want it to be. But yeah, that's it for this week's episode. I ran 50 minutes. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I don't really care. Next week, tune back in for another fun one. Sky Captain, The World of Tomorrow. If you don't know what that movie is, you can watch it. I don't remember. I own all these, so I just rewatched them on my own. Yeah, that's it. That's it for this week's episode. So tune in next week for more fantasy stuff, which is Sky Captain World of Tomorrow, in the World of Tomorrow. But anyways, that's it for this week's episode. I am, of course, your host, Cody. And as usual, at the end of this, I always like to say, let's be awesome.